under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted Voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God: "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the Bible reminds us the truth of the Lord endures forever. I don't know about you, but that's comforting words to me, to know that the truth of God's word endures forever. That means that we need to tell the publishers of books this. We don't need to do an upgrade or a reverse slanted version. We don't need an additional version. We just need the word of God that we have now, without modification, without change, without deletion. In fact, I understand some, 480 some odd different versions or translations of the scripture today. Keep it where it is my admonition. But as we face the issues today, we're going to talk about a seasonal subject. Why do we celebrate Christmas? You ever thought about that? Why do we celebrate Christmas? In fact, it's a known fact based on research and study and what we see taking place. Many celebrate Christmas today not even knowing what it's about. Many celebrate Christmas simply because it's time off from work. Many celebrate Christmas with a drunken bash and a gluttony festival rather than recognizing the real reason for the celebration of Christmas. Majority of the people today will miss Christmas because it is obscured in their hearts and their minds. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we need to go back to the truth factor. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that made a statement that I think is worth repeating even today. Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, he made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And yet we find, according to the latest survey, most younger Americans, headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no absolute truth, where do we go to resolve any question about events? For example, if you're in a court of law and there's no absolute truth, who's going to be right and who's going to be wrong in a prosecution with the defense and the attorneys handling the case? We have no place to go to, no absolute focal point. Truth matters, and yet most younger citizens today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that's the millennials, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their position is, I'll read it from the survey, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. There would be no resolution, no final authority, if there's no final truth book. This is the reason I say that we need to go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is without admixture. It is without error. It is without contradiction, as some try to say. By the way, just it comes to my mind. A number of years ago, I had a young man that, professing Christian, And he would always talk about how he God had told him this and God had told him that. And so I took a piece of paper, with note paper with me. And so one morning we're having coffee, and God told me this. And I gave him the paper and said, would you write that down? He looked at me rather strangely, and he said, why? I said, because I wanted to add it to my Bible. If God's telling you things that's not in the Scripture, God's showing you things not in the Scripture, I want to add it to my Bible to make sure my Bible's up to date. He didn't come up with the idea that God told me this. Listen, God doesn't tell us anything outside the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is truth. And yet I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article in part says this, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion, fashionable in academia today and for decades, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, or it's simply cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my position. That's my challenge each and every day, that we'll learn it, live it, tell it, seek it, defend it even to death. By the way, just as a little footnote to that, I believe that's what Charlie Kirk was doing when he was assassinated. He was standing for truth, defending truth, even to his death. Now, I'm not saying that he wore a halo or that he walked on water, but I am thankful for the position that he would always take of standing for the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? There's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all across America, and even, may I say this, around the globe, at this season, there's the celebration of Christmas. Christmas celebration. Now listen, I'm not saying that all Americans are believers. That's not what I'm saying at all. But around the globe, even in America, across the nation, Christmas is celebrated. And may I say to you, our founding fathers, and I don't know why I just need to touch on this, but our founding fathers, there's an argument, a debate that's around and around in circles today that says our founding fathers were not Christian, that we're not a Christian nation. I beg to differ. Our founding fathers were Christians or God-fearers. Some say they were just, a few were just theists. But listen very carefully. We have, as a result of God-fearers, Christians, that gave us our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution that were all based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So I put it on the basis that our biblical foundations come as a result of a biblical worldview, as a result of our founding fathers, and we have today what I still call a Christian nation. Now, that doesn't say, that doesn't mean, doesn't have any connotation that everybody in America is Christian. Far from it. But everybody, listen, everybody in America, as I know it, as I would espouse the truth on it, will celebrate Christmas as we know it today. Christmas celebration. May I say to you, the Christmas season, there are those that will say, well, you know, it's only a secularized holiday, and I'm not going to celebrate Christmas. And I'm going to go through that some today and talking about some of the objections, some of the excuses that's used for not celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Christmas is. Christmas is the celebration of God's Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this world. We celebrate Christmas in the recognition, not just having parties, not just giving and receiving gifts, but a much greater reason. We celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to remind everybody as we celebrate Christmas, it's to recognize, to honor, and to focus on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son, Jesus Christ, born in a stable some 2,000 plus years ago. And listen, some will say, well, you know, we can't say that Jesus was born on December the 25th. Had to have been in March or April because that's springtime of the year, and December was cold weather, et cetera, et cetera. Shepherds would not have been out in the field watching their flocks by night, as the scripture goes. Listen, that's, you can debate that until Jesus comes. It won't change my position one whit. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's His birth that we celebrate as we celebrate Christmas this Christmas season. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we have today one of our men that's in the Bible College as one of the coordinators for the admissions department for Conservative Theological University, and also a part of the body of Christ called First Conservative Baptist Church. Brother Ken McElfresh is with us today. Brother Ken, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Youngblood, Pastor. It's certainly, again, an honor and a privilege to be here on the program and to talk about Christmas. What the grand time of year that it is. And if I could just open and state a little bit about, at a high level, mm-hmm. That traditions are not inherently evil according to the scriptures. It talks about traditions that are contrary to scripture. They lay aside the commandments of God, mm-hmm. and they include perhaps philosophy and vain deceit. But the idea of setting aside a day like Christmas to give special attention to critical doctrines of the gospel and theology, while it's not a divine command, it's a practical tool for Christians.
Amen.
And the holiday of Christmas, and this is really what I want to talk about today, fundamentally connects to and highlights the most critical, urgent doctrines that have direct and immediate catastrophic implications for the sinner mm-hmm. and the saint.
That's right.
So what are those critical urgent doctrines? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that, maybe a little bit in the first half about the sinner. Mm-hmm. What are the implications of the incarnation of Jesus Christ to the sinner? And then again, what are the doctrines that are associated with the incarnation of Christ? What implications does that have to the saints? And how could that have catastrophic implications for the saints? Perhaps in the second half we might look at that a little bit. But all of this centers around God revealing Himself in what we call divine revelation.
Absolutely.
He's disclosed His glorious attributes, perfections, His excellencies, which He calls His name. In the scripture, that which He is to be known by, His works of creation show His eternal power and Godhead. Through the written word, the prophets in the Bible, He's infinitely glorious, self-sufficient, good, wise, holy, righteous, all-sufficient, full of love, mercy, and grace. He's revealed who He is as a person, as an entity, as our God. But the ultimate, the crown, the most perfect form of His divine revelation, the Bible tells us, is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, the end of divine revelation is namely to direct us, initially as sinners, in paying reverence, respect, and obedience to the divine nature, and then equally as a saint in our growth in grace.
Amen. Well, Brother Ken, I'm going to take a moment and read just a few verses out of the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And I'll not read the entire 20 verses of chapter 2, but I'll just jump in at about verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, speaking to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I like that word, behold, look intently and see, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to a few people. Didn't say that, did it? Said to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, as we celebrate Christmas, I want everyone that's listening today to understand we're talking about a good news announcement. It is the announcement that Jesus Christ has come into the world. You might say, well, I don't know Jesus, and I don't care. There are a lot of folks out there, ladies and gentlemen, if that's your position, in the same condition. And just as Brother Ken was speaking a moment ago, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God come into flesh, God through the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to die, to shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, that whosoever will may come. Such a time of rejoicing for the child of God. It's a time of reveling for the world. As the world sees it, it's a time to be off to watch football games, a time to be off and to drink the Bud Dumber or the Miller Lowlife, or to have a reveling time. But that's not the purpose of the celebration of Christmas. As we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the good news. A Savior is born. We're celebrating the good news that was announced about 2,000 plus years ago to the shepherds in the field. Listen, a greater news would have had a great impact on the world had the world not been looking for a king rather than King Jesus. So as a result of that, multitudes did not pay any attention to it. But listen, a Savior is born. And Brother Ken, let me say a couple of things and then toss it back to you for a moment. But what if Jesus Christ had never been born? I've preached down through the years messages on that subject. What if Jesus had never been born? What if Jesus had never come into the world? What if God in the form of man had never come into the world? We would have no Christmas. Now, think of that. No Christmas. We would have no celebration. We would have no Christians. There'd be no such thing as a church, and there'd be no such thing as Jesus coming again had Jesus Christ never come into this world. I can't imagine, and I've tried to picture it, I can't imagine what this world would be like had Jesus never come into the world. I believe it was Dr. D. James Kennedy back in the, I believe it was in the 70s or early 80s, that had spoken on that subject if Jesus had never been born. In fact, his position was we would never have what we call today modern medicine. We would not have today what would be called anything in relationship to civilization had Jesus Christ never come. And his premise was that any nation that Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has ever gone into is a nation where there's a recognition of human value, human rights, etc., etc., because of Jesus Christ coming into the world. But I can't imagine, can't fathom what this old world would be like had Jesus Christ never been born. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I want to ask you two questions. Love to have your response by your calling in. How do you celebrate Christmas? What does Christmas mean to you? What do you do on your celebration of Christmas? Is it just a wonderful time of family getting together? Is it a time of sightseeing? Is it a time of socializing? Is it a time of shopping and not of focusing on the Savior? We're going to talk about that in our broadcast today, and I pray that you'll join in the discussion on that. Why do you celebrate Christmas? How do you celebrate Christmas? What's the tradition in your home in the celebration of the good news? A Savior has been born. Brother Ken, what say you in relationship to celebration of Christmas? How it's carried out? There's some that will criticize the Christmas tree. Some that will criticize the lights. Some will criticize the date and the time that we celebrate Christmas. What say you as a response to some of those with those arguments, those excuses, those complaints in relationship to it? Should that just be glossed over? Should we take time to argue and debate and consider those? What would be the standard at this very moment that we should place in measuring how we celebrate Christmas and why we celebrate Christmas? What say you?
First of all, Pastor, I'd make this observation that this paramount crowning revelation of God to mankind.
Yes.
You said, what would happen if Jesus didn't come? Well, we would have been left in the dark as to many of the great truths about the person of God. Mm-hmm. Had Jesus not come, because he was the reflection, he was the revealer of God in the flesh, the perfect revelation of God. Mm-hmm. So this creation would have been in bad shape.
That's right. And you touched on it. Let me jump in and interrupt you for a moment. Had Jesus not come, we'd be living in darkness, because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Yeah. And so without that light, we'd be living in darkness today. Darkness in relationship to not recognizing sin, who can save us from the sin, and what can take place in relationship to having a Savior. This is the reason the Bible says with the announcement of Gabriel to the shepherds in the field, it is a celebration of great joy, good news, a Savior is born.
I would expect to... Pastor, in relation to God's crowning revelation of himself, that the wiles of Satan, the hearts and minds of evil men, would cloud the issue in society and in our cultures as much as they can to create these negative aspects of why we should not set aside a day to recognize these critical theological truths and celebrate them within our family. Mm-hmm. So, there's catastrophic implications.
That's right.
Because Jesus did come, mm-hmm. because God did reveal himself, there's catastrophic implications for the sinner.
Yes.
For the sinner. And here it is, the salvation of the sinner from eternal judgment in the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapped up in the coming of Christ. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
He came to lay down his life in a payment for sin in the place of guilty mankind. So he lived the perfect life, never committed one sin, couldn't sin, but yet he died and paid the penalty for sin.
He became sin for us.
Exactly. He died a physical death, and the Bible said he tasted death, the second death, going to that lake of fire as God's perfect substitute for mankind. Jesus Christ suffered in our place. And accordingly, God offers to us a free gift of eternal life. Mm-hmm. How do we get that gift? Well, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He offers to us a free gift. So during this Christmas season, the incarnation of Christ, there's a line drawn. There's a division. Why won't some people go to heaven and others will? Why won't you go to heaven? And what is the only way that you can? Well, the Bible says that we're saved from God's eternal judgment in the lake of fire because of our sin, because of faith. And faith is always a response to, always anchored in, and always mixes itself with the promises of God based upon the person of God, his attributes as provided in the divine revelation.
Absolutely. And Brother Ken, as we think about it, going back to it, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you? How do you celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do you and your family celebrate Christmas? What's the focal point for you as we celebrate Christmas this year? We celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, because an angel said the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. Good news meant to be celebrated. If give you an example, mom gives birth to Junior, a little boy, and it's good news. And on today's modern technology, mom or dad would get on the iPhone and text everybody in your phone list and say, good news, we just had a baby boy. Whatever the pound and the weight, et cetera, and give that information. The good news is that a Savior has been born, that Jesus Christ has come into a dark and dying world to be the light of the world, the Savior of the world, to take upon himself the sins of the whole wide world. That is enough to celebrate. That ought to cause every person to, and by the way, Brother Ken, around the globe, in some form or fashion, Christmas is celebrated. Each and every year. Many of them not really recognizing the full facts and the details theologically, doctrinally, biblically that we understand that we're talking about today, but they celebrate it. Many in America will celebrate this season, celebrating Christmas, not realizing whose birthday it really is. It's amazing that so many times we'll have Christmas celebration and everybody give and receive gifts. But the one whose birthday we celebrate, the Lord Jesus Christ, my question is to our listeners, what kind of gift have you given to Jesus Christ? The gift that he wants to give to us is eternal life. Have we surrendered our lives to Him and sang as the old song, "Take my life and let it be only always used for Thee"? That ought to be the mindset and the mantra for every child of God as we celebrate Christmas. The good news is meant to be celebrated. In fact, the angel said to Jesus, the birth would cause great joy would be for all people. And so my challenge today, ladies and gentlemen, is that we celebrate this season, this wonderful, marvelous Christmas season, with great joy in the celebration that Jesus Christ has come into the world. We celebrate Christmas because the angel said a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, Yeshua, Messiah, the Lord. And by the way, in that text, Brother Ken, there are three titles that the angel applies to Jesus. Jesus is the Savior who delivers us from our sin. He is the human Messiah, or Christ, who has delivered us from sins and death, according to the Scripture. And as we look at the Scripture, He is the one that fulfills the law and the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfills as the divine Lord who's entered into the world to forgive us and save us from our sins. So as we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating good news. A Savior is born. We celebrate Christmas because we recognize a need for a Savior. A need for a Savior. Now, go back to the previous conversations we had, Brother Ken. We would live in a darkened society, a darkened world, had Jesus not been born. Had Jesus Christ not come into the world, there would be no great joy to be celebrated because there would be darkness. I can't imagine, I can't fathom a world without a Savior, a world without the Lord Jesus Christ having come into the world. There are multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're listening, and you say, well, I celebrate Christmas, but I've never given my heart and life to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you. The greatest thing that you can do, the greatest thing that we can do, Brother Ken, in celebrating Christmas, is to surrender fully our lives and our hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, asking Him to come into our hearts and save us, and let us celebrate His birth, His coming, for His saving us from our sins. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate Christmas aright unless we know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And listen, I'll touch on something that's controversial, Brother Ken, with some. I'm going to ask our listeners, do you have a Christmas tree in your home? Are you putting one in your home? Do you decorate it? Now, I understand the passion of multitudes of God-fearing, God-loving Christians that will disagree with having the Christmas tree in a home. They go back to the text and talking about how bad it is to have that. They go back to a text that is found in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4, that condemns the practice of idolatry in that text. And they will consider that idolatry. When we put a Christmas tree in a home, ladies and gentlemen, and we put the beautiful decorations on it, put the lights on it, I say put as many lights out as you can because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when you decorate it, we're talking about the beauty and the grandeur and the greatness and the joy that we celebrate in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Ken, we've got a couple of minutes before our top of the hour news. What say you to in these few moments in relationship to how should we celebrate Christmas? What should Christmas look like in your home, my home, and others' homes?
First of all, it's something, Jesus Christ is something I celebrate every minute of every day. I rejoice in Him. I pray to Him. I want to be like Him. As I read and study the Bible, the Spirit of God is transforming and changing Amen. Me into the image of Christ. I want to imitate Him. I want to be like Him. I want to love Him, and I want to be with Him. So it's a constant thing as a believer, feasting upon Jesus Christ as my Savior, my friend, my God.
Amen.
So how authentically I celebrate Christmas first is I've come to a place where I believe I have authentic saving faith. Mm-hmm. It happened about 43 years ago. And that includes a basic knowledge of God and faith that the Bible said is mixed with a promise of God that delivers the result of a authentic born-again salvation experience.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.